Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Ordinary Council meeting for Brighton Council for the month of August. A big welcome to councillors, senior staff and members of the public gallery. Thank you very much for your attendance. We'll move on to our agenda for this evening, and the first one is a statement by the chairperson. In accordance with Regulation 8 of the Local Government Meeting Procedure, Regulations 2025, the chairperson is to make a verbal statement at the beginning of the meeting to the effect that an audio recording is being made of this meeting. All persons attending this meeting are to be respectful of and considerate towards other persons attending the meeting, and language and conduct at the meeting that could be perceived as offensive, defamatory or threatening to a person attending the meeting or listening to the recording is not acceptable. Item 2 is acknowledgement of country, and Brighton Council acknowledges the Palawa Kakapakana, Tasmanian Aboriginal community, as the traditional and original owners of the skies, land and water of Lutruwita, and forward our respects to their elders both past and present. Brighton Council acknowledges the continued connection the Tasmanian Aboriginal people still have to the skies, land and water of Lutruwita that provides them with the food, medicine and craft celebrated through ceremony today. Item 3 is apologies and requests for leave of absence. All councillors are present. There are no notification of leaves of absence for parental leave. Moving on to item 5, which is confirmation of minutes, and item 5.1 is confirmation of the minutes of the Ordinary Council meeting held on the 21st of July. Those minutes have been included in our agenda. Is there any discussion or amendments? If not, can I have someone move? Moved by Councillor Geard, seconded by Councillor Irons. Is there any discussion or debate? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 5.2 is the minutes of the Planning Authority meeting held on the 4th of August. And those minutes have been included in our agenda also. Can I please ask if there's any amendments or any discussion? If not, can I have someone to move? Moved by Councillor Owen, seconded by Councillor Della Torre. And I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried unanimously. Thank you very much. Item 6 is declaration of interest. In accordance with the requirements of Regulation 10.8 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulations 2025, the chairperson of a meeting is to request councillors to indicate whether they have or are likely to have an interest in any item on the agenda. In accordance with Section 48.4 of the Local Government Act 1993, it is a responsibility of councillors to then notify the Chief Executive Officer in writing the details of any interests that the councillor has declared within 7 days of this declaration. Is there any declarations for this evening's meeting? Thank you. There is none. Item 7 is public question time and deputations, and we have a speaker this evening, Quinton, on behalf of the Jurius Group Holdings. Would you like to come up and address council?
What's that?
Second,
I timed it. I think I'm about right. Look, Mayor, councillors, council officers, thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. I'm here on behalf of Jurius Group Holdings. Our request tonight is a modest one. We're not asking council to approve a supermarket. We're not asking council to rezone the land. And we're certainly not asking council to delay the broader Brighton local area plan. We're simply asking council to preserve the opportunity to properly investigate the land north of Hove Way and the relevant part of 69 Brighton Road over the next 12 months. I've now had the opportunity to speak with most of you individually, and I genuinely appreciate all of those conversations. My understanding is that many councillors are comfortable that if the plan proceeds tonight in its current form, nothing necessarily prevents our proposal from being brought back for further consideration. I sincerely respect that view, and I don't doubt the intention behind it. Our concern is simply that the ability to provide more information later is not quite the same as having a clear pathway within the plan for that opportunity to be reconsidered. That distinction is important for our client. There is still considerable work, professional input and investment required to develop this proposal further. We are not asking Council to provide any assurance about the eventual outcome, but before our client continues committing further resources, it is reasonable to seek some confidence that the strategic opportunity itself remains open for genuine consideration. Sorry about that. A future business investigation area would provide that confidence without committing Council to anything. That is particularly important because our proposal developed considerably during Council's process. Further professional material and a detailed master plan were provided before Council's August 4 workshop. Yet the published assessment continues to refer to earlier reports prepared before that later material was available. We are simply asking for an opportunity for the complete proposal to be properly tested. And this is not solely about our client's commercial interest. There is a legitimate community interest here as well. Council's own 2050 vision consultation found that more options for shopping and food was the second highest response from residents when asked what they wanted for Brighton's future. For families, questions about where they shop, how far they travel, and what choices are available locally are very real, everyday considerations. I'm not at a time when people are conscious about household costs, local access, convenience, and general retail choice. They deserve to form part of the conversation. I'm not suggesting Council can determine grocery prices. I am suggesting that Council has an important role in ensuring its strategic planning properly considers the future needs and everyday amenity of the community it represents. So tonight, we are not asking you to decide that Hove Way is the right answer. We are just seeking you to preserve the opportunity to find out and investigate properly. Consult the community. Consider the complete evidence. And then make the decision. Council already uses investigation areas within this plan where further work is required. We respectfully ask you to apply that same principle here. Endorse the broader plan tonight, but keep this opportunity open for proper investigation over the next 12 months. That gives our client confidence to continue the work, and it also gives the community an opportunity to have its say. And it leaves the ultimate decision exactly where it belongs, with Council, once all of the information is available. I respectfully ask councillors to keep that door open tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councillors, we move on with our agenda and item 7.1. Item 7.1 is a response to a public question taken on notice from the previous meeting. It's a question by a Old Beach resident, Mrs. Yvonne Miller. Her question is listed there and a response from staff is also included in our agenda. Item 7.2 is public question times on notice and there aren't any. Item 8 is councillor question times and item 8.1 is councillor questions on notice. There is a question on notice listed in our agenda from councillor Owen in regards to the Jerry statue. There are 5 questions and the response from council is listed in our agenda this evening. Item 8.2 is councillors' questions without notice. There was at the July meeting, there was a question without notice from Councillor Owen in regards to any flood mitigation plans for the bridge areas of Bridgewater and Old Beach that are affected by high tides. And once again, there is a response in our agenda this evening from the Director of Asset Services. And at this particular point, I will ask, is there any other questions without notice from councillors for this evening? If there's not, we'll move on. Thank you. Item 9 is reports from council, and item 9.1 is the Mayor's communications for the month of July, or part of July and August, and they're listed on our agenda. Are there any questions from councillors in regards to any of those meetings or any issues? If not, can I have someone move those communications be received? Moved by Councillor Della Torre and seconded by Councillor McMaster. And I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against? Carried. Thank you. Item 9.2 is reports from Council representatives. Are there any reports from this evening?
Just one comment I'd like to make.
Councillor Gidd.
I think I'm correct in saying the Brighton Council Social Club put a movie on down at the Civic Centre to do with the floods in Lithgow, and the Councillor Owen and myself attended. That was well done. It was actually tremendous to see that there, and the problem then people in the mainland we have, and I noticed Councillor Owen had a thing on here about our flood, so hopefully we never get to the stage of that, but now I must congratulate the staff on that and the way it was done. It was actually tremendous to watch, and I, you know, as an emergency service person, I got a lot out of it as well, so yeah, brought back a few memories of floods over there as well, though, so yeah, well done.
Is there any further reports? If not, I will ask for someone to move that report from Councillor Geard be received. Moved by Councillor Irons, seconded by Councillor Whelan. And I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against? Carried. Thank you. Item 10 is miscellaneous correspondence. There's three pieces of correspondence in our agenda this evening. There was the letter from the Tasfarmers CEO regarding agricultural property valuations at annual assessed values. Also in there was a response prepared by Gillian on my behalf, so thank you, Gillian, that we sent back to the CEO of Tasfarmers. And there is a letter, as I mentioned at the last council meeting, from the Minister for Housing and Planning in regards to the Brighton Activity Centre within the draft Stirlis. So I think that letter probably kept the door open a little bit, that we still may have a small hope of having that particular piece of piece in the Stirlis upgraded. So fingers crossed, and we'll keep the pressure on. Item 11 is notification of council workshops. There was a council workshop held on the 4th of August, and attendance and apologies are included in our agenda. Item 12 is notices on motion. There aren't any. Item 13 is consideration of supplementary items to the agenda. There are no supplementary items. Item 14 is reports from committee. There were no committee meetings held in August. Item 15 is petitions. There are no petitions. Item 16 is council acting as a planning authority. There are no planning items, as we dealt with those at the planning authority at the beginning of the month. Item 17 is officers' reports, and item 17.1 is the Brighton and Pontville local area plan. And hand over to Alex.
Thank you, Mayor. So as councillors would be aware, the Brighton local area plan project kicked off earlier this year. Essentially, we presented that to council, a draft to council, and following that presentation, we went out for some community consultation. As part of that process, and over the last several months, we've received a number of submissions through Have Your Say website, email, social media, direct stakeholder engagement, and on-site at a feedback session as well. So we received quite a good set of feedback, and we thank the community and relevant stakeholders for their input in that. So through that process and the submissions we received, we made some adjustments to the local area plan, which are outlined within the report. Most of those looked at residential growth and future mixed-use opportunities and so forth. There were some submissions that we received that we didn't feel aligned with the BLAP direction or the strategic direction within the state. And so we've provided some feedback within that, within the report and the attachments to all of those submissions to council. I suppose it's important to note that we haven't essentially changed any or recommendations to land that removes the right or reduces the right of development for any blocks within the area as it exists today, and we've essentially gone through our consultants to provide an analysis which really focuses on our activity centre and what we're trying to achieve within Brighton itself. So just like to acknowledge the work that the officers have undertaken with this project to date, and we feel that we've produced a good document that provides a good guidance moving forward. Again, this is a living document, so we'll review it As we see fit, things will change as the document progresses. We understand that, you know, 15, 20 years is a long term. So it could be in 12 months that we just do an initial review. It could be with whatever that the council wishes, or if we find that we've had proposals put up that may be important at that time, we can also address them at that time as well.
Thank you, Alex. Councillors, is there any questions of Alex in regards to this particular item? Councillor Whelan.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Page 69, Alex, just the actions, and I've had this conversation with you and a number of councillors and James. The short-term actions are 0 to 5 years, which could be seen as fairly lengthy. Would it be better if we were to suggest 0 to 2 years, given that council might be sitting on their hands before they initiate some of these shorter-term actions, rezonings and the like?
Through you, Mayor. I think that'd be fine to do. The consultants have effectively, a lot of their plans are based on these sort of timeframes. We sat down as a department to identify, I guess, our work plan, and that was sort of located within that period. So happy to make that change.
Without any major financial sort of impact or anything?
Yeah. No.
Can I have a follow-up question? Obviously, that's on page 69. Does that move forward the medium, or do we go 0 to 2 short-term, medium 2 to 10, and long-term 10 plus? Is everyone happy with that? Thank you. I just wanted that confirmed. Alex, I've just got a couple of really sort of quick questions, I think. We've obviously done a lot of work in regards to this. Aaron and myself were both on the committee that was involved with the consultants right throughout. This is a living... I just want some confirmations that this is actually a living document, that it can be amended by council at any point, and that would include if there were appropriate development applications or zoning changes implemented or requested?
Through you, Matt. Yes, correct. The document is meant to change, particularly in the world that we live in and how rapid things change, particularly... You know, if you look back in 10 years, Brighton, what it would have looked like then compared to now, obviously it's changed significantly. So we don't want this document to just, that's it and that's what we're running with and then away we go. It's just providing us with a guidance. So if things come in and that we need to address and we need to amend, this document can be amended. Not only that, but if something comes out of the blue, like there's new technology that comes up and we might need something else or a like, or a grant opportunity or anything like that, that doesn't stop an application from being put in, and council would consider those on their merits through a proper planning process.
And obviously, I mean, these were, the work was done by independent consultants.
Yes. So we went through a proper tender process to engage some consultants, made sure that they were adequately qualified, and they put forward a proposal that was assessed, process, and yes, they provided their independent expert advice, and they also had a team not only from Mesh, but they also provided that some external input too.
Thank you. Councillors, any further questions?
Just one from me, Mr. Mayor. You, probably to Alex. Just the process for a developer, should we progress with this plan tonight? Mr. Villanueva made a representation that there is a process that they can go through to progress this. Should we go down this path tonight? But that wasn't optimal for the proponent. I'm wondering if you can outline that process in a bit more detail.
Through you, Mayor. If there is a proposal like the one that was presented tonight, that can still be lodged. So that could go through such a process like a Section 43A process, which is a scheme amendment in a sense. And there's a series of things that would need to be undertaken and reports that would need to be presented. With any scheme amendment, council assesses it and then agrees to initiate or proceed, and then if it does, then it's subject to an independent assessment through the Tasmanian planning scheme as well. But there is certainly a pathway for anything that's not necessarily identified, and we've also had discussions with other landholders across the organisation that's not necessarily identified here, but there are pathways forward for them.
Is there any further questions? If not, we have a recommendation on page 14, noting that we have, I think, agreement around the table that on page 69 there is a timing column is identified as either short, medium or long term. Short term is being defined as 0 to 2 years. Medium is 2 to 10, and long term is 10 plus. With that in mind, the recommendation is that council notes the engagement summary contained within attachment B, that we note the officer's response to submissions contained within attachment C, and that we endorse the Brighton and local Pondfield local area plan contained within attachment A. Is someone prepared to move this motion or an alternative? Moved by Councillor Irons and a seconded by Councillor Owen. I'll now open it for debate if needed. Nothing?
I'd like to just add, Mayor, that I'm mindful of and acknowledge the and appreciate the input by the Doris group. I did speak with Fenton on the phone and outline my reasons for supporting the Lapis bids, and I'm happy to second the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Owen.
Well, we'll probably just say that I think it was the presentation particularly done on the Monday by the Doris group. I think, you know, while certainly in my mind I'm pretty clear on where I think we need to go, I think it did also open up a number of other thoughts and things in my mind that could benefit our community that I hadn't considered before. So I think, you know, there was definitely community in mind with some of that thought process, and just obviously the chat with Quentin on the phone was very respectful and, you know, very much respected my perspectives, which I appreciated as well, but also obviously a huge amount of work by our guys going into this, and a really, really good job. I think I love the fact it's got our community in mind, particularly those two activity centres. It's really, really important. So thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Lyons. Is there anything further? Councillor Whelan.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I was probably one of the main catalysts for this document. I certainly fought for a few years for it to occur and get some funding. I think it's a very robust and well-consulted foundation, and I think that's probably where we've got to consider it in a foundation. It will change, and we'll get some further advice as we go, so I appreciate where we're at the moment.
Thank you. Thanks. Councillor Gidd.
Yeah, I'd like to thank all the groups that put in, your own group, but also I attended at Brighton there when they opened, when we had the opening there, and stayed there for a fair while, and Councillor Owen was there as well for a fair while. And look, the number of people came through there and put their remarks here, either for or against, mainly for it. And what we need to do is it goes to show that the community there is well for it. I do mention that there was mention here about the supermarket, but there was no one when I was there ever mentioning about a supermarket there or anywhere else. I just mentioned it needs a supermarket down this way, and that was all that was ever mentioned. So that's something I'd like to say. But and again, If it comes back again, we look at them with fresh eyes, and definitely it's just at the moment with the information I've got before me, it still leaves the door open for everybody to change it anyway. So and it's just going to delay a little things a little bit longer, and I think we really need to do that for both sides to look at to making sure that what we do for the future is good enough for the municipality for the long term. So for a little time to hang it off, I think that's the best way to go personally, sir.
Thanks, Councillor Gidd. Is there anything further? I'll just add a couple of things. I think it's a great document. I know the hard work that went into it. So thank you, Brian. Thank you, Alex. And thank you to the team at Mesh. And thank you, Aaron, for your input as well. I know the amount of hours that we both contributed and spent. I think there's a couple of things that I like about this particular local area plan, and that is that it is a living document. That it's something that can change tomorrow, or it's something that can change in 10 years' time for the long term. and we always have opportunities to make good decisions for our community, and that's what we're here for. And I know that the nine councillors that sit around this table, including myself, are all here for the right reasons and make decisions in the best interests of our community, so thank you for that. If there's nothing further, I will put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against? Carried unanimously. Thank you very much. Item 17.2 is a request for further rent reductions at Unit 1, 84 Jetty Road, Old Beach. And I'll hand over to Gillian.
Thank you. So in April, the tenant from Unit 1, 84 Jetty Road wrote to council asking for a 3-month 50% rental rebate. Again, we wrote to council asking for an extension of this rebate for a further 3 months. And an apology for the document saying from July, but they're actually hoping to get the rebate from September to November. They've paid July and August rent in full. Two therapists are still on medical leave, which means that the income is down by 2/3 what was projected in their initial business plan. And the director has returned to working more hours to reduce the gap of loss. However, this is unsustainable in the long run. Uncertainty also in relation to the changes to the NDIS scheme is still an unknown until the rollout of the changes in October 26, but it's anticipated that it's going to actually affect their business because it'll go from one-on-one care to group care, so that's also going to affect revenue. The owner of the business has kept in constant contact with the council staff and are doing everything they can in order to reduce costs and increase revenue, including actively trying to recruit new therapists, as well as the director reducing her own pay, reducing admin costs and applying to increase business overdraft, as well as trying to put the space of the area out to other people, like as a sublease. Given their cash flow forecast, the tenant believes that it will be reaching out again to council in December to February, which is through the school holidays, where they experience a downturn in children gaining care. So it's recommended for council to give another 3-month rental rebate, which would mean that council would lose some rental income in the short term if it agrees to the reduction. However, approving a temporary reduction may help the business stay open and continue providing child therapy services locally.
Cool. Thank you, Gillian. Councillors. Councillor Owen, you have a question.
Through you, Mayor. Gillian, you mentioned NDIS and change. Is that a positive or a negative thing, disclosure?
Their business is a model that they don't rely on a lot of NDIS funding, and so she's kind of looking into that. But also, I think through the... I did meet with her back in April and got all this information. I went through my notes early and I'm trying to remember. I have issues with my memory lately. So they're trying to sort of branch out to gain more NDIS people, but they don't want to, it's not a great business model to rely on that funding. So they need the private children to come in as well. But obviously where they're located is affected by fuel prices and that little bit extra further to travel.
Councillor.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I raised some concerns about this one back in April. I still have those concerns. Do you have any indication of the viability of this business going forward? So if we provide them with another 3 months, sounds like they're going to want another rent reduction in another 3 months.
Yeah, I just think they've been really unlucky with some of the circumstances. They are actively recruiting, trying to get some more therapists in, which would obviously increase their therapy, their income. I think they're probably going to come back to us to get another rent rebate until February. The fact is we went out for expression of interest for these properties. This was the only sort of person that expressed interest. It's really hard to tell. I don't know much about child therapy and NDIS, but I think if we sort of get them through till February and then they want another extension, I think that's our answer then.
With with Councillor De La Torre's sort of question and following on from that, that you believe they're looking, going to look for an extension? I mean, we've done it many times before in that we've extended it sort of beyond what the request was. I know that's normally for sponsorship, but Councillor, do you think it's probably appropriate that we, if we think it's going to come, do you want to bring it back, or do you want to extend it for a six-month period?
I guess my concerns previously were that this is a commercial business, and we're essentially subsidising a commercial business where simply because they have a lease with us, and if they didn't and were in any other commercial property, they would probably struggle to get such a generous rent reduction given the circumstances. And my concerns relate to other businesses in the municipality that are doing it tough at the moment, and essentially providing a subsidy to this business that isn't available to others, nor do we have the means to provide it to others. So yeah, I'm not too sure, to be honest.
Yeah, I was just a thought that sort of stemmed from your question of Gillian. So, yeah. Councillors, any councillor? Oh,
I was going to move the motion. Everyone's finished.
Yeah. Is there any further questions?
I've just got to say, just under this very unusual circumstance with this government, I've not seen one like come across like this before. We've had other business trying to help out, saying there's been a downturn, whatever, the COVID and web, things like this, but this is just seemed to be hit by one thing after another. Just a little bit, you know, probably keen to agree that if we do it to February and nothing happens then, that's it.
Yep. Councillor Owen, I'll hand over to you.
I'm happy to move further 3 months at this stage on the basis that I'll move second.
Thank you. Is there a seconder for that? Councillor Whelan, thank you. Councillor Owen.
On the basis that it's a child therapeutic service, I think that's probably required, needed. The circumstances have been difficult for the business. And I'm a bit of a believer in 50% of something is better than 100% of nothing. So I would have to move.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Arnold. Councillor Whelan, do you wish to address? Or?
I agree that it's a good service for the area, and I do think that if that property was vacant, it may take some time to have an alternate person go in there and occupy it at maybe similar costs. So,
yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Councillors, I'll open it for any other comments. Councillor Fines.
Thank you, Mayor. I really respect what Councillor De La Torre said there, and I landed on the exact same place. It's very challenging when it's a private business, and I think we have to be really aware of precedent. Is super important. So I guess my next train of thought was, you know, how is this a bit different? And I think in my mind it was able to be justified a bit just based on the fact it is such a direct help of humans in our area. So I think things around health, mental health, dental, any of those sort of things, I think is where we can push a bit further and be justified to do so. And I think that if we were to ask our community generally, including other businesses that lease, they would probably agree with that, or the majority would agree with that. So, but I think what Councillor De La Torre brings up is very important to have on the record, and that this discussion needs to be there for that, and obviously it needs to be aligned. And with the only other thing I'd say is in talking to one family member who is in this area, to see how hard it is to find people, it is very, very challenging at the moment. So it's not a case of being able to find someone quickly like you might in other areas. And I like to think this is maybe a small investment in our community that pays itself back as well for people who maybe do need a bit of a helping hand. But, you know, I think, yeah, thank you. I'm sorry to have that on the record. I'll certainly be supporting it, but I think that thought process is very important for all of us.
Thanks, Councillor Irons. Is there anything further?
No, I just agree with what Councillor Irons said, and also what Councillor Willen. If we let it go now, we're going to be, you know, back to square one. It's going to take a fair while to get anyone in there. So, but Councillor Irons said, at least we're getting half of the meeting, so it's better than nothing at the moment. And I do understand it's a commercial enterprise, but this, as I mentioned before, this is most unusual circumstances. I've not sort of come across this one.
Thanks, Councillor Gaird. If there's nothing further, Councillor
Collins, just to close it. I think it would be a feather in Council staff that we're willing to assist in exceptional circumstances.
Thank you. I'll now put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And against? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 17.3 is the Greater Hobart Sport Infrastructure Strategy, and it is the final draft. Hand over to Callum.
Thank you, Mayor. So this report presents the final draft of the Greater Hobart Sport Infrastructure Strategy, which provides a coordinated evidence-based framework for planning and investment in sporting facilities over the next 20 years. For Brighton, the strategy highlights the importance of upgrading and expanding key facilities, particularly Fontfield Park, while addressing identified gaps and making the best use of our existing assets. Importantly, the strategy does not commit Council to specific projects or expenditure. Future proposals would remain subject to Council's priorities and budgets, business cases, etc. So the recommendation is that Council receive the final draft, noting that consultation with key sporting organisations and stakeholders will now be undertaken, after which the final strategy will be returned to Council for endorsement.
Thanks, Callum. Councillors, open to you for any questions on Callum on this one.
I'll just make an observation more than anything.
Yeah, Councillor.
If I may, I know, and I can't find it, I think it's in section 4 in the summary of outside sports, they left out football, totally. And I was interested in that they were going to upgrade lightning.
We can
one got killed, didn't it, in the light.
Through you, Mayor, we can certainly put those comments to the project group for consideration.
Lightning rods.
I did notice that they've made the comment in there that that transport isn't an issue generally. But I'd have to say that I think that's not quite right. I think a lot of the times people can't, if they can't access sporting facilities locally, then they just don't go. Anecdotally, I can give you examples of that if I need to, but I think to say that, yes, there's a facility in the next suburb, so I don't need one, isn't always right.
Yeah.
Especially for children.
Through you, Mayor. Certainly, I appreciate the report does make the statement that I think that transport isn't as big of an issue as it may be thought, but certainly wouldn't disregard that there are members of the community that require, have higher transport needs and that sort of thing, and there are still people that are affected by things being located in other municipalities. So within the infrastructure planning, I think it's important that Brighton still consider access to different sports in the context of the infrastructure that's available.
Thank you. I just thought I'd make that point.
Thank you. Thanks, Councillor Curran. Is there any further questions of Callum? If not, there's a recommendation that Council receive the final draft of the Greater Hobart Sports Infrastructure Strategy, noting that consultation with key sporting organisations and relevant stakeholders will now be undertaken, and that the strategy will be brought back to Council for endorsement following consultation and finalisation. Is someone prepared to move? Moved by Councillor Irons, yep. Seconded by Councillor Curran. And if there's any debate?
No, I just thought, I think it's a fantastic idea, and I think there's some great points made by Councillor Curran as well, very much so, especially in our municipality, where we've all been fighting tooth and nail to try and get public transport improved and that sort of thing. So I think if anywhere, that would hopefully be quite a strong consideration for us. It certainly be worth mentioning to the group that we would differ from other areas on that front. But you would also hope as part of this that is considered to say, okay, well, I mean, they're talking with all these bodies, if that's a popular sport, you can afford to have them potentially in every suburb. We've all heard Callum promise Royal Tennis. We'll probably be the only people to have Royal Tennis, absolutely. But I think it runs the risk of not doing this. I'm sort of embarrassed to say I never really thought about this when we've looked at our sporting things. I've never once thought have we got one of these just over the fence in one of our other municipalities? And that probably should have been part of my thought process. But at the end of the day, we're seeing clubs all over the place closed down because they don't have numbers, they don't have volunteers, so there is a limit there, and that's getting worse as people are too time-poor. We've seen it happen in our municipality at the end of the day, so hopefully this can lead to longer-term engagement, which means to longer-term relationships and and better development for people. Once people's clubs close, they're far more likely to leave a sport and then do something else, so I certainly applaud it and look forward to seeing the next steps.
Who are you, man?
Thank you, mate.
Ooh, am I allowed now?
Yeah, go.
No, I was just going to say, we will provide that feedback, Councillor Curran, because I think it's potentially just clumsy wording. I think what they're trying to say, and it's part of the whole piece of work, is let's not duplicate, across because of municipal boundaries, but it may be clumsy wording, and I think it's a good point. We need to not imply that we're dismissing transport challenges for people. I think they're trying to make a different point, but they might be wording it in a clumsy way.
It is an issue. I can think of three little boys who wouldn't have been at the soccer today if one of either myself or my husband didn't take them, because there's no transport, no other way to get there. And Councillor Ryan is really right, correct as well. People are just time poor, and there are sporting teams or clubs that really, really need volunteers. That's a big issue, getting the volunteers and getting trained volunteers. Anyway, apart from that, I thought it was a great document.
The only thing, Mr. Mayor, I was quite surprised with some of the clubs there with the decline, come across the board, the percentages and that. So, and I'd come with what Councillor Curran said, is we haven't, a lot of them are not getting the support from the volunteers and the families and that to look after them. The children and the adults want to play, but it's just getting people to back them. It's really sad to see that some of those sports are declining, really, and I'd like to see the whole lot going up that way, not being stagnant or up and down. So we can put all the complexes in the world, unless the people support it and the volunteers support it, them complexes can just sit there and not be used. And we see that around Australia at the moment, there's complexes not getting utilised.
Thank you.
Maybe we'll have one down the
hotline. I think that part of the process too, you think, when you're analysing volunteer numbers and that sort of thing, and what sort of catchments catch them. As it is, they're not football anymore. I'm sure for any of this.
Thank you. Is there any further? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And again? Carried. Thank you very much. That concludes the council meeting for the month of August. Thank you very much for your attendance.